podcast is written on the back of the Declaration of Independence, a show in which we sell our souls to BP for political gain.
Hello, my name's Callum.
And I'm Chelsea.
And this time around, we watched The Runner.
The Runner.
This is film number one of an event, a now yearly traditional event that we like to call the Shark Cage.
Dun, dun, dun!
We have to watch three films in one day because...
Callum's running away for 5 months.
Yeah, I'm going off to do some work. So three films, three podcasts, one day.
So the next three episodes for you are going to get progressively worse. So look forward to that.
So we started off with The Runner, a genuinely random pick from the dirge that Nicolas Cage produces that ends up on Amazon Prime.
A straight-to-DVD goodie.
It feels very much like that. Can you tell us a bit about the plot of The Runner? And there is a lot of plot.
There is a lot of plot. There is arguably too much plot and yet not enough plot.
Exactly.
Nicolas Cage is a quote-unquote good guy politician. He's morally supposed to be a good guy. But then he gets caught cheating on his wife.
Yes.
His career falls apart, and then he goes about trying to gain it back again, all over the backdrop of the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
From, what, sort of mid-2000s-ish, I think that was, wasn't it?
I would say, like, 2010?
Around then.
I'm not good at historical
dates. Yes, yeah.
But someone on Amazon Reviews, spoiler for later, has classified this as historical fiction, and I was like... I was alive at this time.
Historical fiction.
Historical fiction.
Yeah.
When does something become historical fiction?
I don't know.
Is it literally just the day after an event happened?
I guess. Because, you know, when we hear, you know, Boris Johnson say something fucking stupid, everyone goes, it's history in the making. Yeah, I don't know when something becomes history. Like, when you talk about, like, cars, there's a very specific time in which a car becomes retro and then classic.
Okay, sorry. When you said when you talk about cars, I thought you meant the Pixar movie Cars.
When you talk about cars,
I was Lightning like, McQueen. Lightning McQueen, is he a historical figure now? Ka-chow, bitches.
Cars is historical fiction. So I don't know when something becomes historical, but it's a current political, geopolitical thriller / family drama / romance / film.
Slash film.
It's a slash film.
It's potentially a film. We're not entirely sure. It's a film in quotes.
So part of the reason I feel like I should explain my pick here, because this was my pick.
Yeah.
All three of these films on the Shark Cage are my pick.
And yet, listeners, he will not apologise for them, no matter how shit they end up being.
My pick here was, I just wanted to pick a random film off Amazon. I wanted to go with one of those generic, bargain bin, bullshit, use the same publicity photo as the main image of Nicolas Cage for every DVD.
Well, sir, you succeeded.
And this one is an odd one because obviously it's called The Runner. I did notice the words like political thriller in the thing. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. It's maybe a subject we've not covered yet. And also, there is an explosion behind him on the cover, which is a very typical thing. But I was like, oh, I wonder if there's going to be like, it's a political thriller and he's going to get kidnapped. Or it's a political thriller and he's going to be held hostage and that's why there's an explosion. The reason there's an explosion is because the film is based around the BP oil spill, which of course started with an explosion. And we see an explosion in news footage played out in the sort of opening credits to explain what's happening. And then the person who was designing the DVD cover from a third-party design company was like, well, how the fuck am I meant to sell this? Oh, there is an explosion. I can legitimately put an explosion on the front cover. So
yeah, it's very much missing the thriller element of the political thriller.
Yeah, it's just political. drama.
Bearing in mind,
I would say it's a drama, political drama.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah.
It's not thrilling.
National Treasure 2 was more of a political thriller than this movie is.
Oh, yeah.
This is just following a politician around as he lets his life fall apart and then tries to build it
tries
up
to do
and then
good.
Does the same again.
Yeah.
It's very repetitive.
I think like we both touched upon, I think the main problem with this film is that there is both not enough happening and too much going on.
Yes.
There are plot lines about his divorce, about the BP oil spill, about starting up a non-profit, about losing his sort of senator job, about retiring. There is a plot about his dad, who is also used to be the senator, who is now an alcoholic, but also Nicolas Cage is an alcoholic. And there's just like two or three too many strands going on.
There's so much going on that not enough time is spent on any of them.
No.
So by about halfway through the film, we both kind of realised, oh, we don't care about anything that happens in this film.
Yeah.
Because we entered his storyline at the wrong point, I think. So we entered his storyline where he's already made the mistake of cheating on his wife with a local fisherman's wife. Oh, that sounded weird.
Yeah, no, he's cheated on
his
partner.
He's cheated on his wife with a local fisherman's wife.
Yes, and seeing that he is the senator for Louisiana, that's a bad move because
a
lot of his people are fishermen, yeah.
And a lot of the fishermen are losing all their jobs.
Exactly.
Because there is oil in the water.
Yes.
And they're not being paid enough to clean up the oil. So we meet him when he's already made that mistake.
Mm.
So when he starts to try and redeem himself, you get this sense of, why should I care? Because I never saw him before he was, we never see him as a fully, quote unquote, good guy.
Yeah, you never see him like, and I mean, I'm not a fan of this trope, but you don't see him lured into the trap of the woman. You don't see him fall for her. You don't see him make the mistake and regret it. You just see the mistake happen.
Not even that. You just don't know him before.
Yeah.
So he's just a cheating politician at this point.
Yeah.
And so why should I become invested in a cheating politician trying to be good again?
Trying
and they
to do
this whole, oh, I don't see race, all that kind of stuff. So you go, ah, there's the signal. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't fly because nothing he does reflects that.
Not particularly. Not until he's lost everything.
And the only reason he then starts to do those things is so that he can get his political career back.
Or so everyone claims and he refutes.
So it looks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the fact that, so the first half an hour of the film or so is a politician trying to do good because of the BP oil spill. And while this is happening, he is caught in a scandal of cheating on his wife.
He's also trying to go for a run at the Senate.
Yes.
At higher level. And he is being propositioned by people who work for BP. They want to give him campaign money.
Now, what we've just said there is enough to fill a full hour and a half political thriller.
Yeah. You've got the whole, oh no, I've cheated on my wife. I need to rebuild this relationship. Also, oh no, I'm against this whole oil spill thing.
Yeah.
Or seem to be. I seem to care about the community, but they want to give me money and that could get me into the Senate. That's so much to go on.
So much stuff. So much to work with. And like I said, it's the first half hour of the film. And then there's in the next half hour of the film is about him trying to, we kind of time jump sort of 6 months, and it's about him trying to start up a non-profit to help the fishermen in particular and the locals affected by the oil spill who've been left behind. And he then starts to deal with the divorce of his wife and starts seeing another woman who is his PR person, Sarah Paulson. That, if you wanted to make that first half hour of the film like a recap, like a prologue, 5-10 minute prologue at the beginning of the film, then that second half an hour of the film is enough to fill out a whole film.
Yeah.
But they don't do that either.
No.
That's just a half hour. That's just act two.
Yeah.
And then act three is him being persuaded to take the dark side again and go back into politics, and the relationship with Sarah Paulson breaking down, and him potentially getting back with his wife because it's the right political move, and all of these kind of things. And that's a fine hour of a film, or it's a fine epilogue of a film.
Mm.
If it wasn't half an hour of the film, it's three films in half an hour chunks, which makes me feel like it feels like a shit House of Cards miniseries.
Yeah, and they couldn't get it to series, so they went, oh, let's turn it into a film.
Exactly. It feels like the first three episodes, or a series arc of a House of Cards style show, rather than a movie.
Do you know what I reckon? Because it was only 90 minutes. It was very tight.
It was tight. It was.
I reckon there's probably a decent two-hour film in there. You know, the trend now is to do a two-hour something film.
Yeah, I reckon
with
so.
With a little bit of reworking, because, you know, it is interesting to see someone go, I think morally I'm a good person.
Mm.
And then seeing them taking blood money or,
being
you know,
persuaded and moved off course, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. So I think there is an interesting movie in there, and it's not written badly or anything like that.
Not particularly.
It's just structured badly, I think.
Yeah, I think it's mainly structure.
And I think if they took off the tagline of thriller, they just did it to sell the movie.
Yeah. Take away the explosion on the cover.
And when you put political thriller, you have to keep it tight, because thrillers are tight, otherwise you get bored.
Mm.
That's the point of a thriller, is that it's fast-paced.
Edge of the seat.
Edge of your seat stuff. Which this is not. So stop trying to sell it as a political thriller.
Yeah.
Give it an extra half-hour runtime.
Yeah.
You know, work out the priority of what, which of the three stories is the main one.
Yeah.
You can probably touch on all of them, but which is the main one that you're going to spend an hour of your two-hour movie on?
Yeah, totally.
And you've got probably actually a decent film, because the performances are fine.
The cast are good.
Yeah.
The cast are good. Like, this is a Nicolas Cage podcast. He is clearly invested in this.
He's working.
He is trying his damnedest. He even does some crying on screen that looks good, but they film him in darkness. And I feel bad for the man.
I know, but it looks so cool that he's in complete silhouette in his apartment, like slumped over on the floor.
But he's trying to cry. He's got tears coming out and you can't see them.
But that's why Sarah Paulson's in the film.
But you've got a good... Sarah Paulson, she's doing a good job. Yeah. It's not particularly remarkable, but they're all clearly talented actors. Peter Fonda's doing a decent job with the three scenes that he gets given.
As Cage's dad.
As Cage's alcoholic dad. And,
an age-appropriate wife!
Age-appropriate wife.
Welcome back to Age-Appropriate Wife Watch. He's got one in this movie.
Ding,
hooray!
Ding, ding. Yeah. It's I think it is purely structure and editing. And the structure is in the script, probably, rather than the editing. And then the editing is just too slow and it doesn't help.
Oh, talking on editing, there's two very bad montages.
Yeah.
Each time he is falling into disrepute and turning back to alcohol, etc., etc., they do this weird montage thing where each thing is filmed and then fades into the background and is overlaid by another thing. And you can sort of see him doing three things at once.
Yeah.
But it looks like butts.
Yeah, and like the whole plot point of him being a recovering alcoholic is confined purely to either throwaway lines or these two montages. Just cut it.
Just cut it, or don't have him go back to alcohol until really late. Like, we've established he hasn't had anything to drink for 16 years. That's such an incredible feat.
And then he lapses about half an hour into the movie.
And you don't care.
And then by the end of the montage where he lapses, he goes back.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the film, he lapses again.
So you don't see what an incredible, like, kick in the guts it is after 16 years of sobriety.
That would absolutely mess you up.
Right.
That would
It should really impact
so
you.
Much.
But one, because we don't care for the character yet. Two, because it happens too early.
Mm-hmm.
Three, because it happens twice. You don't give a shit.
Yeah, you don't.
And you should give a shit. That's like a major character point.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many things like that where we join the plot point a scene too late.
Yeah, all the stuff that would make us care happens off screen.
So, towards the end of the film, Peter Fonda, the dad character, is admitted to hospital because he went cold turkey and it wasn't good for him. Problem is we find that out when he's in the hospital. We should see a scene with him attempting to go cold turkey, or a scene where, because Nicolas Cage kind of goes, you shouldn't be drinking, and that's the end of it. But it doesn't, like, push him. Like, wouldn't it be good if we saw a scene where Nicolas Cage and his father are fighting about his father's sobriety or whatever, or, you know? We just don't see it. It just happens off screen, and then we see the consequence. We see consequences, but no actions. What a fun episode.
I know. Can we talk about something actually fun?
Yes.
Right at the beginning of the movie,
yeah,
he goes to his wardrobe because he is the runner. So he goes on a run.
Yeah, and he runs.
He pulls out. No, no, I'm not talking about the run. He goes to his wardrobe and he pulls out a pair of trainers from a wardrobe full of identical black shoes.
Yep. That's politician. It reminds me a bit of a gag in The Simpsons where Bart goes to his cupboard and then opens it up and it's just the same blue shorts, orange t-shirt combo.
But how liberating would that be? Like, part of me kind of misses having a uniform.
Because
you
totally.
Just don't have to think about it. And it might look shit. You might hate your uniform. I've never had a uniform I enjoyed.
But it dictates what I wear when I'm
but
out of the house.
You don't have to think about it.
Right? And then you come home and you've got an excuse for just going straight into pyjamas.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter that I don't wear clothes that other people wear a lot.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you can afford nice trainers.
Because you've
got
just
a shit uniform.
Got to wear the same uniform. Like a politician's uniform. They were very happy with the title because he's running for political politics. He's a political runner. And then at the beginning of the film, he goes on a run.
Yeah, he goes on a run. Runner. Like twice, three times. It's not like he's training for a marathon or anything. Like across the length of this movie, which spans like a year.
Yeah.
Because there's a big 9 month time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's about a year.
He goes on a run like twice and he's sweaty as anything after 2 seconds.
And he's in the same clothes.
He's in the same clothes, the same place.
Which makes me think they had like a 2-day shoot in Washington, D.C. where they could, and they just went out and filmed him running for sort of half an hour and were like, yeah, we'll pepper it in.
They do the Captain America thing where he's running in front of like a recognisable Washington landmark so you know where he is.
Yeah. So Cage is a senator for Louisiana, a state famous for its thick accent.
Yes.
And Cage tries it occasionally. It doesn't work.
So I see what he was doing.
Yeah.
Politicians want to sound intelligent. So often they'll drop accents. I dropped my accent growing up.
Yeah, same.
Because everyone I saw on TV who talked like me or my family was a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So I learned RP from Julie Andrews, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a big working class issue. We won't get into it. I don't want to do another rant right now because we've got two more films to watch. But politicians do that. They get speech training. Hillary Clinton had a lot of speech training because she's a woman and we don't trust women, so she must sound less like a woman.
Yeah.
So he very well could have dropped back the accent. And in the early scenes, he does just kind of have a bit of a twang.
Yeah.
But then also, sometimes it's very, very thick and sometimes there's no twang at all.
The thing is it seems thicker when he's public facing.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense with, like, the idea, unless he's trying to appeal to the locals more by putting back on a Louisiana accent. The problem I had is that when you add Louisiana plus a Nicolas Cage accent, because Nicolas Cage has his own sort of distinctive voice tone / accent.
Mumble Cage.
When you add those two together, it turns into, what's his name from Family Guy? The dad in Family
Guy.
Peter
from Family Guy.
It sounds like Peter from Family Guy ever so slightly. When he's trying to meld the two together, there's like a moment or two where he sounds like that, and it's just odd, and it's kind of not needed. So normally we try and play clips of Cage being funny / doing funny voices, or, you know, showing off his bad accent.
Ain't nothing in this one.
And not even from anyone else. So I just want to play a clip that I like of Sarah Paulson in American Horror Story refusing to eat a cupcake. It's got nothing to do with the show, but it just makes me very happy.
We do get a little bit of trademarked Sarah Paulson lower lip tremble. Bit of a cry.
Yeah, she does a bit of that,
doesn't
she? She
is the nation's crier, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Sarah Paulson.
I ain't got no problems with her.
It's just become a bit of a trope now that she has to cry and everything because she's just so good at it.
Yeah, I've not particularly watched her in much, I don't think. I think this might be the first like full-length thing that I've watched her in. I've only ever seen you watch clips of American Horror Story, so I'm just aware that she's not particularly liked because she does a lot of sort of atonal screaming. A lot of her performance can be a bit one note in something like American Horror Story, but then the show doesn't particularly allow for much more from what I know.
I'm coming to her defense. It's not her fault.
Yeah.
It's because she is always cast in a role that Ryan Murphy then goes, how can we make her scream or cry?
Yeah.
Her performance is always on point. I had a minor existential crisis right at the beginning of this film. So Nicolas Cage,
mm-hmm.
Not Senator, Congressman? I don't know how American politics work. It makes no sense. Whoever he is for Louisiana,
yeah,
is walking down like a main street in, is it called the Latin Quarter?
He's in New Orleans walking down Bourbon Street,
uh-huh,
which is the main party street. It's, yeah.
So he's walking along like he's just never fucking been there before.
Yeah.
For a start. And then he stops and he like fist bumps this dude in like a leather daddy mask.
Yeah. There's and a guy in kind of gimp outfit.
No, just the mask. He was just wearing normal clothes, but he had like a leather mask on with like metal, you know, there's like rounded spikes on. And part of me went, oh shit, Nicolas Cage isn't wearing a mask. I had a proper freak out and I had to remind myself this was filmed before any of this happened.
Yeah, it was 2015.
It just happens that a man was wearing a mask.
It does happen, doesn't it, occasionally. What were we watching last night? We were watching RoboCop last night, the original RoboCop. And there's a sequence in which a piece of news footage plays in which RoboCop goes to visit a school.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All of the kids were crowding around him.
Like,
and part of me went, it's fine because kids don't socially distance and RoboCop is a robot. But then, this is honestly the logic, but then a news reporter comes in and puts a mic in RoboCop's face and says, have you got a message for all the kids out there? And I was like angry at the news reporter for getting too close to the crowd, which is fucking bonkers.
Because this happened, what, 40 years ago nearly?
Because it's a fictional universe and it's the 80s.
Wow.
But because it looked like a news piece of news footage, it got me angry. Oh, gosh.
We are now warped forever.
Yes. Yeah, we are.
Okay, hear me out.
Yes.
This film, Wild Theory, is Russian propaganda for how bad American politicians are.
Okay. Because I think I've got this note as well.
It was made in association with a company called KGB Pictures.
Yep. And it just says KGB. Their logo is just in big red sort of block letters, KGB.
Who looked at that and went, that's a great name for our production company.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I'm just going to start up a new film production company and call them ISIS. Like, it doesn't, it's not, no.
There was a big fallout, I don't know if you remember. The dog in Downton Abbey was called Isis.
Well, yeah, because it's named after an Egyptian goddess.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then the whole actual Isis fundamentalist thing happened. And, like, people were petitioning to get the dog's name changed or kill the dog off or whatever. and this feels like a situation where that should have happened. Or someone at some point might have gone, okay, our initials might be KGB. Maybe we could call it BKG.
Yeah.
No, you can't, because obviously that's you impossible to say.
Yeah, but yeah,
GBK,
I know what you mean.
Or something.
Well,
or just anything else.
The show Archer had the same problem with ISIS. That was the name of their spy organization.
Yes,
was ISIS.
It was.
And but then they made a whole thing out of it, and that was the whole series. But yeah, it's just odd. It's just really odd to see this really sort of aggressive graphics with the letters KGB on the front of the screen. I mean, who thought that was a good idea?
Who needs election tampering when you've got Nicolas Cage in a semi-boring political drama? Do you want some Amazon reviews?
Yeah, totally. Right. We're keeping them short and sweet because we've got three of them to watch.
And it's already gone midday.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's going to be a long one. So, the reviews on this one, it's got 3.8 out of 5 stars.
So higher rated than Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes, but only has 88 reviews.
Okay,
so I
that's
feel
quite
like
low.
It's not a particularly common one.
Yeah.
Only For Me, number 4, gives it 1 star.
Oh, we thought that was his review. This film is only for me. This is written for me, this film was.
Only For Me, 1 star. Waste of good money. This was one of Nicolas Cage's lemons. Story went nowhere and ended nowhere. Now, I need to clarify. Is lemons a term that people actually use for flops?
I've never heard it before, because to me, a lemon is a particular person doing something stupid or clumsy. You lemon when someone does something clumsy.
Okay, one. In 4.5 years, I've never heard you say that once.
I've not said it. It is a thing.
Okay, yeah. No, I know
being
it's a
lemon
thing.
Yeah.
So to me, a lemon.
It's a citrus fruit. Yeah.
That too. But a lemon is a term for a piece of fan fiction that has a sex scene in it.
You are so deep into stupid,
so
stupid fan fiction, aren't you?
It's so fun though. But it's fun to read.
I have never heard a film, a flop, or a stinker referred to as a lemon.
But I guess it makes sense because
sour.
You taste lemon and your face screws up and you go, oh, blah.
Yeah.
You don't like lemons, I guess. I don't know.
I just don't see myself using it in conversation. I don't see myself going, the fanatic. Oh, that's a right old lemon. Maybe I do. Maybe I do, actually. Yeah. Anyway.
If we make an effort to stop swearing and saying things are shit.
Well, yeah, I'm not. No, I'm not going to exchange shit for a lemon.
Super lemony, this.
Nah.
Okay.
Super lemony.
Super lemony.
No, thanks.
That might be my drag name.
Super lemony.
Super lemony.
That's a good one.
Okay. Charlotte Mary, hyphenated. 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Calls their review 10 stars. Which has already contradicted
itself. So wait, they gave the film 4 stars.
No, they gave the film 5 stars.
Oh, 5 stars, sorry,
but
my apologies.
They've titled their review 10
stars.
I'm assuming because Amazon does not allow 10
stars. 10 stars, yeah, they don't work on the timeout way, yeah.
I gave this 5 stars purely because I love Nicolas Cage. And purely because everything he touches in my eyes turns to gold. Alas, I can't remember the movie. As at the time, I was very drunk and away with my partner. We watched about 10 Cage movies, so they all morphed into one. And yet, Charlotte Mary, it is people like you that get terrible films booted up the ratings.
10 stars.
10 stars.
Do you reckon that's more to do with the fact that her and her partner obviously had a good sexy time during the film? They were away. She was drunk and they were away. I get the feeling that to me reads as we were fumbling on the sofa while this was happening. And they
I
had
mean, it's not very conducive to it though, is it?
They had a good
time.
I don't
think I'd want to fumble while this was on.
I don't know. Nothing gets me hot under the collar like the BP oil spill. Ooh, seeing the pelicans all covered in slick. Yeah, baby. Okie doke. Any last thoughts on The Runner?
Ah, just don't bother.
It's just a bit boring.
Yeah.
unless you're particularly interested in this kind of thing, maybe you've got a dad who particularly likes this kind of genre, we are going to leave you. We'll see you in a month's time. We'll be back here recording in about an hour and a half's time. When we come back with part two of The Shark Cage, we are watching The Weatherman.
The Weatherman, which I don't believe is streaming at the moment. But if you're in the UK, we managed to pick up a cheap copy on DVD for like £1 from CEX.
Yeah, exactly.
It's gettable.
Okie doke, so that's that for this. And we'll see you back for more of something else later.
Bye!
Bye!
Thank you for listening to our silly little podcast. If you've enjoyed yourself, the best thing you could do for us would be to leave us a little review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps other people find the show. If you'd like to help us out a little bit more, you can find us on all the usual social medias at Nick Cage Pod. That's at NICCAGEPOD. I'm talking Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. And if that's still not enough, or if you've got a spare couple of quid burning a hole in your pocket, you can buy us a virtual coffee at ko-fi.com/Nick Cage Pod. After all, we need to pay for these ridiculous movies somehow.